Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freshly Booked on One Radio. Join us as we interview authors just beginning their literary journey. It doesn't matter how their book is published, the world agrees being a published author is a big step. We want to celebrate and spotlight these writers whose words were brought into the hands of readers. Listen in as they talk about their new experiences and join us in jubilation for those who are freshly booked.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer K. Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this last afternoon of March for Freshly Booked. I'm here with Raina Kingston and Helena Caster. Lancaster. I apologize. We're going to be talking about their new book. And I want you ladies, if you'll each just take a moment to introduce yourselves. Raina, let's start with you.
Like you said, I am Raina Kingston, and I live in the Youngstown, South Carolina. I live with my daughter and my sister slash best friend, who is Helena, and our cat. I've been writing poetry and lyrics of some sorts for over 20 years. I'm currently at Ashford University obtaining my master's degree in education because I eventually plan to teach English in a foreign country.
My name is Helena Lancaster, and I'm also from upstate South Carolina. I live here with Raina and her daughter and our cat. I am a student at Southern New Hampshire University working on completing a bachelor's degree in English and creative writing. I've been writing most of my life, and especially poetry became more of my focus in my teenage years. I published one poetry anthology with another one later this year.
Great. Thank you both so much for being with us today. We were talking back behind the scenes before the show started, and if their cat happens to make an appearance, they're going to introduce the cat. So just thought I'd let everybody else know that there might be a special guest appearance today. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started with the interview. The first question I want to ask is, when did you both when did you both figure out that you wanted to start writing?
Well, as I said a few seconds ago, I've written most of my life. I've always enjoyed it, no matter what other career goals and dreams I've pondered. Writer was always part of it. Having a writing career to me is essentially fulfilling a dream I've had since I was probably 7. The decision, however, to focus my future education and career goals on writing definitely has been more recent. I do have to say, Raina had a big part in making me see the light, so to speak, and telling me I was insane to pursue anything else.
And where you've always wanted to, this is all very recent for me. I never dreamed to be a published writer the way that Helena has. Even though I have written in some fashion for over 20 years, it was purely cathartic. It was just to get my feelings out, a way to release my inner demons, and just feel better for some time.
I love the fact that you said to release your inner demons, because there are some people that I need to release my inner demons about just so I can get through the day sometimes. So I can actually relate to that one.
It works.
And by the way, if you guys listen regularly to Freshly Booked, you will notice that I try very hard not to have an accent. However, Helena and Raina are literally right down the road from me, just a couple hours. So we are all three Southern Belles, and if my Southern accent happens to come out, please do not hold it against me.
Well, if yours comes out, it's only going to make mine worse.
I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. When I talk to people who have a Southern accent, it just comes out. I don't know why. I've tried very hard not for it to, but it just does.
Yes, it does.
Okay, let's start this question with Helena. What authors inspired your writing, and who are your favorite authors?
As far as influence, I would definitely say Sylvia Plath, Poe, Carl King Hamilton, Nora Roberts, J.K. Rowling, George R. R. Martin, Kim Harrison, and Tolkien. Would definitely be the main one. I'm influenced by more than just writers, things like history, mythology, different types of mythological lore, my dreams, sometimes even music. I'm kind of an eccentric super nerd, so a lot of things end up speaking some crazy idea in my head or another. And it sounds
it's going to sound weird when I say that I really don't have any direct influences. I mean, as I write, I can see a thing or two that I might see is going along with someone else, but I definitely have a list of writers and poets who I love to read. Their works are just amazing to me. And, you know, like Helena, Poe definitely has to be in there. I am a huge Chelsea Kane fan. Everything that she reads and writes is just amazing. We both love Nora Roberts, but I'm also a Baudelaire fan. I think his poetry just speaks volumes. And Patricia Cornwell is another one of my favorites. And that's just to name a few, but usually my writing just comes from within.
I love that. You both have two different dynamics, basically. One of you is just picking up, you know, Rainey, you're just picking up things from wherever. And Helena, you're grabbing things that are right in front of you and musical interest. I absolutely love that because, like, you add both of those together, and I have a feeling this book is going to be amazing when our readers get a hold of it. So I am really excited to get you guys going. Question, do you carefully plot out what you're going to write, or you just kind of go for it?
We kind of start with a general timeline, throw our ideas together, and, you know, kind of, you know, we'll have some details here and there, specific things we want, and then it just kind of flows out from there.
Okay, let me ask this. When you guys are writing, do you write separately or do you write together? How does that work?
Well, sometimes it depends, but we have noticed that if we write separately, we might get a little bit out. But when we write across the table from each other, it's like we feed off each other, and it just flows. And we'll sit there, and I'll go, okay, incoming. And she knows that means I'm sending her my update for her to read and see what she's got going on. And it's just, it's crazy. My daughter will lock herself in her bedroom because we just completely take over the kitchen table, and we just write for hours. The only time we hear a peep out of my daughter is if she is reading what we have recently done, and she'll come out and just snap her fingers and go, next. But we love to write together. Like I said, we just sort of feed off each other.
It's very hard to
write without the other.
How do you get prepared to write? Do you guys put on music? Do you throw on a pot of coffee? Do you get some incense going? What happens?
I have to have a fresh cup of tea. I usually do write with music. It's really good at helping me focus and, you know, see emotions in my head for the characters. I definitely can relate certain thoughts to things that are going on. My typical playlist is bands and artists like The Temptation, Evanescence, Delane, Epic, The Nightwish, Depeche Mode, Camelot, Looking for Foil, Blue Dolls, and there's quite a few others, but that's just the main ones I can think of right now. I have a big preference for, you know, the symphonic rock and techno and things like that. And, you know, if I have headphones in, I'm not driving Raina nuts because I can't just not talk. But there are times the headphones do come out. We are discussing what we're writing and things like that, too.
But now where I'm concerned, you know, of course, if I'm writing in the morning, I must have my coffee. Writing at night, then I have my tea. It just depends. It's hard for me to write to music. I'm really good at typing in what I hear. I have caught myself typing the lyrics to whatever I happen to be listening to in the book, and then that's plagiarizing, so I can't do that. But I do better with the sounds around me. Before we moved to where we are now, we had a deck, and I would actually go out there, and I would write, and it would be the sounds of the kids at the pool or whatever's going on, but usually it's just the background TV noise and things like that. But if I ever do listen to music, it's been like, you know, the 69 Eyes, Breaking Benjamin, Muse, The Cure, you know, bands from Europe are big for me. So Teresa's and the Rasmus from Finland are ones that I listen to a lot. But I'm very grateful for Helena's headphones because, like I said, what I hear usually goes into my writing. But there are times when the headphones have to come out and we have to talk what's going on in the book.
Well, I guess that's a good way to bring it all together and just kind of bring you back to a starting point. I have we have a local writers group that meets once a month, and one of our writers, she's actually leading our group, she will have in her headphones when we're typing, and I'll just look at her and try to get her attention, and she is just zoned. I mean, she's listening to her music, and she's just going, And sometimes I have to reach over and just flap her laptop down and say, hey, look, I need your attention for a minute. So I can kind of get the vibe that you guys have going. Incoming. Do you read the genre that you write for, or do you prefer other genres to read?
A bit of both, actually. I do read historical fiction if the story catches my interest. I'm a really big fan of Philippa Gregory and her War of the Roses series and the ones that she's done on the Tudor court. But I also read a lot of some genres of sci-fi and fantasy. So it depends on if what I read on the book hooks me in, so to speak. I mean, I haven't found any genres that I won't read at all.
And oddly enough, I, you know, started out at the age of 12 reading the Harlequin romance, you know, the red covers that were supposed to be, you know, the worst ones you could read, especially as a kid. But my grandmother in Baltimore would buy them, read them, and she would write her 2 cents in on the front cover, pass it to my aunt. She'd do the same thing, and then I'd wind up getting this huge box of books from my aunt, and we would discuss what we thought was going on in the book. But as I got older, I moved to the historical romances because I love history. So if you throw in the romance with the truth from the history, not made-up stuff, then it's an amazing read for me. I've added mysteries to this lately, especially where anything is concerned with forensic science. Like I mentioned earlier with Chelsea Kane, her thriller series that has to do with Archie Sheridan and, you know, the beauty queen killer is just amazing. I absolutely love her work.
Okay, when we get off the phone, I'm going to send you guys an email, and we're going to have to set up a meeting, like, face-to-face, because I have a feeling we all three would get along really good, because I love historical novels. I love mystery. Yeah, we'll have a coffee date later.
That sounds great.
Okay, well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of your book. What's the title of your first release?
My actual first professional release was a collection of poetry titled Behind the Mask. It was something that I had the inspiration for the title since the 10th grade. And, I mean, I've written close to 400 poems. So after I chose 75 for it, I kind of, you know, picked the recording things to set it up and break it down. And I'm actually going to release another poetry collection at the end of the year, well, November, to be specific, that's going to be called Phoenix from the Ashes.
And the one that we've released together, which is Hearts on Fire, the story of Vlad the Impaler and the women he loved, which is the first book from the Passion of the Dragon saga, is my first paperback baby. I honestly never thought I'd see my words in print, so this is all still quite a shock for me. And we just released it on March the 4th through KCL Publishing, which is a small indie publisher.
Great. And if you guys are listening through a link, you'll notice that in our show description, we have a link where you guys can go directly there and buy the book immediately. So we've made it real convenient for you to do that. What is your first release about?
Well, Hearts on Fire is a historical romance medieval novel. It falls into several categories because it's set in the 1400s. With romance and a good bit of historical fact. We've done our research for this book. But basically, in a nutshell, it's about twin sisters, Erdenia and Ersabet, who meet Prince Vlad Dracul, the rightful ruler of Wallachia. And unbeknownst to the two of them, they immediately both fall in love with him. And the rest of the book is their fight for Vlad's love and how they deal with his decision when he chooses a bride.
Okay, I have to ask this real quick. Did the inspiration for your book anywhere come in because you girls are sisters and you've just grown up arguing with each other all the time?
And see, the thing is we technically aren't sisters. We're best friends. We're 14 years difference between the two of us. So, 17, sorry. But, you know, we met and sort of clicked, and it's been this way ever since. But You can start with our inspiration for this book.
Well, and just for future reference, we look so much alike, people do not believe we're not biologically related. We get it everywhere we go. But the inspiration, we were talking one day about Vlad and how fascinating we both found his life. it ended up sparking the idea for this book. And, I mean, there were several times we'd have the same conversation, and we'd go, we need to write this as a book. We need to write this as a book. And finally, years later, we finally started it. But, I mean, you know, we didn't have any idea that discussing our personal thoughts on the death of his first wife, rumors of another lover that he had before, during, and after her would end up turning into this. I mean, you know, it was discussed, but, you know, we didn't think we were ever going to do it. It's been a wonderful experience, though, to take someone that has that historically infamous and create this captivating story about an unknown size of a man. Plus, the whole always making him a vampire can get rather old. So we wanted to tell a story about the real man behind all the legends.
Exactly. We wanted people to see more of the real Vlad Dracul. You know, he became Vlad the Impaler through things, of course, that he did, and that will be discussed in later books. But we didn't want to talk about the vampire character that Bram Stoker made so famous. As fantastic as that is, everybody automatically thinks, oh, you mentioned that, Dracula, he drank blood. And we wanted people to see that he actually was a real human being and try to, you know, bring out things about him and not the, I don't know, I guess the false stories about him.
So thank you.
No, that's great. So this is kind of like a background story of characters that you guys have talked about before.
Well, I mean, it's been the same characters. I mean, we've always talked about these three main characters all the time, and we finally just were like, okay, it's time to get this started. And, you know, we just took it to, you know, because when it starts out, you know, he is the rightful prince, but he has to fight for his father's throne. So it starts off, you know, they're young. I mean, the girls are 17 when they start, and Vlad's, what,
18?
So we're starting them off really young in this book, and it shows what they go through their lives.
Okay, now I got you. Okay, so this is just the start of the story. I was thinking that maybe you had taken a character and then just started your story as a backstory to what other people had already known about. I think I kind of got off on that. Sorry.
That's okay.
Tell me about your three main characters.
Well, like we said, the first, you know, main character is, of course, Vlad Dracul. He is the Prince of Wallachia, and the twin sisters are Denia and Erzsébet. And in this book, Vlad is actively seeking to regain his father's throne. And we've made him everything that we have heard that he could be. He was stubborn. He was determined to get what he wanted, no matter what that was. Whether it was father's throne, somebody's death, or a woman, he was determined. There's been several stories about how Vlad could be a sexy human being and, you know, a very eccentric character, and he had one hell of a temper. Erdenia is the older of the sisters, and she can be motherly and stubborn as well. She's extremely independent and also has a bit of a temper. And then there's Erzsébet, who is younger, and by 17 seconds. She is meek and timid, but she can be stubborn when she needs to be. She can have the backbone when she needs it, but it doesn't come out that often.
Great. Well, you both said that you had an excerpt that you wanted to read today, so why don't you guys go ahead and do that?
Okay, great. I'm going to start, and I am reading the first part of the book that is Erdenia, and it starts like this. It was a warm summer night in 1449 as I prepared for the dance. I took one last glance in the mirror and was satisfied with what reflected back at me. Father had allowed us to commission a seamstress for our dresses. It was the deepest of reds, the shade of red that makes you think of a drop of blood drying on your fingers, and I loved it. I was excited and eager to get in the carriage and be on our way. As usual, my twin sister Erzsébet was moving along slower than I liked. "Hurry, Lizzie, I'm ready to go to the dance," I exclaimed. "I am hurrying, Beanie, I am. I cannot get my hair the way I want," Erzsébet replied. I took the brush and comb from her hand. "Let me help you." I always seem to be doing this. Helping Erzsébet had become second nature to me. Our mother died when we were very young, and in a way, I took over as her mother. It took a matter of seconds for me to have Erzsébet's hair perfect, and we were ready to go. We both took one last glance in the mirror before heading out to the carriage. When we arrived at the hall, the dance was in full swing. As I stepped from the carriage, I could hear the music and laughter coming from inside. I was giddy with excitement. After checking our cloaks, Erzsébet and I went in search of the party. We walked into the great hall to see it was brimming with people dancing and laughing. I wanted to dance, but I had to wait for a young man to ask me. This was the part that I had the least amount of patience with, the waiting. My eyes scanned the room just to take in all who was there. My breath caught in my throat as the eyes stopped at a pair of piercing green eyes looking back at me. Looking at those eyes, I felt like he was looking deep into my soul. I looked at the face that went with that eye, with the eyes. The man had long, curly brown hair. He had a slight mustache and beard. His lips were full and made me think things a young girl should not think. He was leaning against the column with his arms folded. I wanted to dance with that man. I wanted to marry that man. He was absolutely beautiful. His eyes turned for me, and I saw that he was looking at my father. How did father know him? Would he introduce us to this young man? They spoke very briefly. I then watched as the man's gaze turned back to me. For a brief moment, I wondered if he was going to come and speak to me. Seconds later, he turned on his heel and left the hall. I turned to my sister. Lizzie, did you see that man over there? She looked at me. No, I was looking at a man myself. We had no idea we were looking at the same man. Several dances later, I excused myself to walk out onto the balcony for some air. It was hot in the crowded ballroom from all the dancing. Stood and looked out over the beautiful grounds. I felt a presence behind me and turned as he spoke. Hello, you're Erzsébet, correct? Yes, I am Erzsébet. And you are? I asked. He smiled a slight smile. I am glad you're cool. Prince of Wallachia, would you care to dance? I smiled. Yes, I would love to. He offered me his arm and we walked into the ballroom just as a slow waltz began playing. He took me in his arms and we began to dance. We did not speak for the duration of the song. Staring into each other's eyes, I felt myself falling in love with him. We never broke eye contact until the song was over. He took my hand to kiss it. It was a pleasure, Miss Odenia. Then he was gone. The rest of the night, I looked for him in the crowd. As I stepped into the carriage for the ride home, I began to wonder if I would ever see that man again. If I only knew just how soon it would be.
And I'm going to read the first part of the book that comes from Erzsébet. I love to dance, the spirit, the dancing, and the laughter. I almost lived to go to dances now that I was old enough. Father had even let my sister and I get new dresses this time. It was a beautiful dark green dress that my twin sister, Adenia, was having to keep me from wearing around until tonight. She always said that dances made me annoyingly giddy. I could hear her already telling me to hurry. I am hurrying, Beanie. I am. I cannot get my hair the way I want, I replied. She took the comb from my hands and said, let me help you. I do not know what I would do without my sister. We lost our mother when we were very young, and she was always taking care of me. We were only minutes apart in age, but she seemed to be the one growing up faster and mothering me. I knew that one day she would be a great mother to her own child. She seemingly fixed my hair in seconds. I had been struggling for what seemed like an eternity on something that was so simple for her. I glanced in the mirror one last time before I followed my sister to the carriage. I only wished I could be like her. She was strong, beautiful, and confident. I felt so dependent on having her around, I only longed to be more like her, to be stronger. It seemed like no time had passed before we arrived at the dance. I followed my sister from the carriage, hearing the music already playing. We checked our cloaks, and I continued to follow her in search of the ongoing dance. As we entered the great hall, there were people everywhere already having a grand time. I could only hope to get the chance to dance tonight. I loved to dance, especially when I was feeling well. My sister and I were both taking a moment to look around the dance at everyone. I could not help but find my eyes stopping on a young man across the room. He had stormy eyes that seemed to just draw me in as he leaned casually against a column. His long dark hair that seemed to settle in curls upon his shoulders, with a small mustache and beard on his face. He kept his arms folded as he seemed to be looking across the room and then right at me. I could not seem to make myself take my eyes from his gaze. I could see him seemingly speaking to another man nearby, only to realize that it was my father. My father knew this man? I'd never seen him before because I know that I could never forget those eyes that shared the same gray color as storm clouds. I seemed to be lost in my thoughts as I found him looking at me once more. I was only taken from my thoughts by my sister's voice after I watched him leave the great hall. Lizzie, did you see that man over there? I turned to look at her and answered, no, I was looking at a man myself. Though at the time, neither of us knew that we had both been looking at the same man. I quickly parted ways with my sister so I could dance. It was not often that I felt well enough to do so, and I was going to dance as much as possible. I was quickly asked, and I did so as if it were my last night on this earth. I'm sure that my sister would also be dancing as much as I was. The night seemed to pass by so fast, the first near dozen partners and I had played the music. I felt so happy just to be there with all the others that night, as if I were never the usual sick young lady that I'd always been. I excused myself from my current dance partner to try and find my sister. I walked out of the bathroom to out of the ballroom to play to see if she was there instead of finding her. I found him. He smiled at me as he stepped closer where I stood. I could not help but find myself looking right into those stormy gray eyes that had mesmerized me when I first arrived. "Hello," he said to me, as I found there was hardly any more distance between us. "Your name is Elizabeth, am I right?" "Yes," I answered with a smile. "My name is yours." "My name is Elizabeth." "What is yours, my lord?" "I am Vlad Dracul, Prince of Wallachia," he replied as he offered his hand. "May I have the next dance?" "Yes, my lord, you may," I responded with a smile as I took his hand. He led me back into the ballroom as another waltz started to play. I turned to face him as he slowly pulled me into his arms. We began to dance as my eyes met his, and it was as if we were the only two people in the room. As we danced, I felt like I was floating on air. I could not tear my gaze away from his beautiful eyes. I was lost in that storm, and the more lost I became, the more I began to fall in love. I could have spent the rest of my life in those moments. As the song finished, he took my hand gently and placed a soft kiss on it. "Thank you for the wonderful dance, Ms. Elizabeth," he said as he turned and seemingly disappeared into the crowd. I knew it was still a simple smile painted across my face that I did not know how to contain. I continued to dance the rest of the night, but I could not stop myself from continuing to look for him. I never saw him again before my sister and I left in our carriage to return home. I only thought of him in those mesmerizing stormy eyes the entire way home. I longed to see him again and wondered if I ever would. I had fallen in love with this mysterious prince who had made me feel like I walked on air. I knew then that my thoughts of him would never leave my mind.
That is great. You guys have both captured my interest, so I am definitely going to check out this book this afternoon before I head off. Tell everybody where your book is being sold so that they can go out and get this book immediately.
It's available online at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Smashwords, iBooks, and we have a web shop as well that is Kingston & Lancaster Books. SELV.com, among many other retailers. I've also seen it. We've also listed Books A Million as well. It's easier to find if you type in Hearts on Fire, the story of Vlad, because if you just type in Hearts on Fire, you have to dig through so many things.
That's good to know. And how can our listeners find you guys online? Are you guys on social media?
Yes, we both have Facebook. We have separate Facebooks, and we have a joint Facebook. We are also on Tumblr. We're on Twitter. We have author pages on KCL where they can go and they can read a little bit more about us. That would be at kclpublishing.com. There they can go and they can read a little bit more about us. They can read reviews on the book as well. There are several reviews that you can read at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
And Goodreads.
We're both on Goodreads as well. So we're pretty impressed with some of the reviews that we've gotten. Actually, we're still kind of shell-shocked of how we've been doing over the past not even a month yet.
No, that's great. Are you working on any other manuscripts right now?
We're actually two chapters into the next book of the series, which we've titled The Passion of the Dragon Saga.
Oh, nice. So you're already getting started. Wow. Okay.
We can't stop. We decided that we were just going to go ahead and we haven't told anyone the title of the new book, and we figured now would be a great time to do it. And we're sort of keeping with a theme, because we're going from Hearts on Fire to Love in Flames. That will be book two.
Nice. I like that. And thank you so much for letting us be your platform today. Oh, my goodness. That's cool. Okay, time of truth. What celebrity would you choose to play the main characters if there was a movie rendition of this book?
Oh, that's so easy. Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
We have specific reasons why. We both are huge fans of the Dracula series that NBC had, and they decided not to pick it back up, which we were very saddened by, but he played the part so well. He had the attitude, and there are several things where he had the swagger that, you know, we could imagine Vlad having and being so confident, and
you could see the anger come out when it was supposed to. He had the passion, and most importantly, he had the glare. Any picture or painting you've seen of Vlad Dracul, he had a glare. That was his way of getting what he wants, no matter what's going on. But he just had everything that made Vlad what he was. But he characterized him so well, and we've heard, you know, his British accent because, you know, he's Irish. But we've heard his British accent, an American accent, and we can just imagine that he could pull off a Romanian one just as well.
I definitely agree with you on that one. And I was so upset when they canceled that, too, because I had just started watching it when the announcement came out that they had canceled it. I was sick.
The bad thing about it is, it's so funny. We were sitting having dinner one night when they finally talked about the wife that he was with, and they named Ilona. And the funny thing about it is if people read history, he never loved that second wife of his. So we were kind of shocked. Both of us dropped our forks and were like, no way! You're the loud queen of our fourth place. You're just complete shock.
Well, before we close up,
the tutors too. So,
yeah. Well, before we close up, I want to ask you guys a final question. What message would you have for your fans or for our listeners right now?
First, I have to say that if they decide to pick it up, that we really hope they enjoyed it. We hope that they, you know, enjoy everything about it. I never expected to become a published writer, so I have to tell them, chase their dreams. If they have the dream that they want to be a writer, a musician, whatever, it could just be a harebrained idea that people think you have, but it could turn into a dream that you never really knew that you had. And whatever they do, don't let anyone judge them for the dreams that they have.
We do hope you enjoy the book as much as Raina and I have enjoyed writing it. Your dreams can come true, so don't ever let them go because you or anyone else says you can't. Dreams are worth going after. There will be people out there that will try to squash them and turn you in a different direction, but don't let them. Go after them and do what you love because you live your life. No one else lives it for you, and you should do what makes you happy with it.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for being here, taking some time out of your Sunday to talk with us about your book. Again, if you're listening right now, head on over to the bookstores and check out their book. It sounds like it's going to be amazing. And for everybody that is a writer, do exactly what Raina and Helen have said. Don't stop your dreams. Keep writing. And thank you again both so much for being here.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right, guys, have a great day and keep reading. We'll be back next week. We won't be back next week because it's Easter Sunday, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with another new author. So stay tuned.
I think she has a